Man, I am glad to be here. Now, Pastor, you were talking about those kidney stones. In fact, the church that we were in this morning, the pastor was not there because he's in the hospital trying to pass a 6-millimeter kidney stone. So I don't know if that's a big one or a little one. But I don't think I would enjoy that. So, Pastor, we'll be praying for you. That does not sound good to me at all. All right, let's have the boys sing first. That way, we'll do that. We'll have the boys sing first. Boys, you come on ahead. This is a song that my wife wrote. She's always writing us a mission song, and this one took her a while, but I think it'll be good. I think you'll enjoy it.
Life that gives God glory can involve great pain and woe. Our suffering and weakness gives Him honor here below. Sometimes we need to suffer well with many trials and pain, so others can see Christ in us. This loss is heaven's gain. One moment in eternity, my eyes will truly see that nothing that I did on earth was meant to be for me. Only what I did for God to bring more souls to Him, to help them see the love of God, to free them from their sin. One moment in eternity, I'll understand just how. That's all that will really matter a million years from now. Have we given up for God our family, land, or home? Have we sacrificed in this life for the gospel far to roam? Do we understand the burden of souls we could not win? There's a world that's slowly dying, every day still in their sin. One moment in eternity, my eyes will truly see that nothing that I did on earth was meant to be for me. Only what I did for God to bring more souls to Him, to help them see the love of God, to free them from their sins. One moment in eternity, I'll understand just how. That's all that will really matter a million years from now. One moment in eternity, my eyes will truly see that nothing that I did on earth was meant to be for me. Only what I did for God to bring more souls to Him, to help them see the love of God, to free them from their sin. One moment in eternity, I'll understand just how. That's all that will really matter a million years from now.
All right, go to the book of Acts. We're going to show this video in just a minute. Acts chapter 14. Now I got good news and I've got bad news here. The good news is I am going to be shorter than Brother Gibb. Amen. The bad news is it's still going to be long. No, I'm just teasing. All right, Acts chapter 14. Let's read this verse and we'll show this video and I'll tell you a few things to look for here. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27, it says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's what we get to do here tonight. I get to stand before you and give you the good report. And let you know where your money's been. You know, you've invested in us. Pastor, you guys invested in us as a church 10 years ago. 2010 we came by, and you invested in us. And so this video that we're going to show, this is you'll see some things and all that. But all this that happened is the last 4 years. Some of those things, certainly not everything. But it's exciting. There's some good things. Now, as we've traveled around on the road, we've just got about a month and a half left on the road. And then we'll be back in Idaho where our home church is. And we'll pack a container. And we should be on the plane by the last week of September, getting back to the field. And so that's the plan. I just got news 3 days ago, well, on Wednesday, 3 or 4 days ago, that New Guinea has now the COVID numbers have been dropping in New Guinea. They've never really been that high, but they've been dropping. However, we now have a 21-day quarantine in New Guinea when we come into the country. So that's pray about that if you would. I do not want to spend 21 days in a hotel in the capital city. Because that means that's about $5,000 worth of hotel. So we don't want to do that. So we're just gonna do what God's given us to do, and we're gonna just go straight forward and pray that that's gone by the time we get there. Amen. And if it's not, well then God will provide the way and all that, and it'll be all right anyways. I just don't want to be stuck here in the States when I'm supposed to be in New Guinea. So we're just gonna get out of here. And there's a couple things I want that in, update the video, because as we've been traveling around, the first thing is you'll see we started a radio station. If you've been reading our prayer letters and seeing some of our Facebook and videos and all that kind of stuff, I'd encourage you to get our new prayer card, and on the back is a little QRL code. Point your smartphone at that, and you can get onto all those things if you want to get onto all those things. Lots of updates and videos and all kinds of cool stuff. So if you've been watching that, you saw that we started a radio station, and just a little old thing, and we just kind of built it with some scraps that we had here and there, and we really just wanted to reach maybe a mile or so around us. I spent about $350 on the transmitter, and the transmitter and the antenna together was that cheap. And I was told it was going to cost me thousands and thousands and tens and 20,000s of dollars. And I said, well, I guess we're going to do it different. Amen. And so we got it all put together for about $700. Amen. And we got it on and turned it on. And it was going about 12 miles away. Amen. And about reaching our 60,000 people that were there. There's a little fringe, and then there's a little over on this other side you'll see in the video that didn't quite get hit. But our home church there at Treasure Valley has purchased all that new equipment to upgrade all those things, just push it out just a little bit further. And so we're excited about that. One of the things that I wanted to raise money for, you know, that's why we do this furlough thing, right? We're raising money. Was I wanted to buy a bunch of these little radios. These are fixed-tune radios. They got a solar panel on them. You know, we're talking about the jungle, so they don't have power and all that kind of stuff. And but they're really expensive. They're $20 a piece. And I thought, that's ridiculous. I can buy Chinese radios for $5 or $6 a piece and $20. But the guy said, they're really good. They're waterproof and, well, water resistant, and they're really good. I said, well, I'll see what God does. Amen. Because I sometimes my faith is really small. And so we were in a church in Tennessee, and the pastor said, man, he says, Shad, what's your next project on the list? I said, well, you know, this, and I said, well, the next one is these little radios. He's like, well, what? How many do you need? What's your number? I said, well, you know, it's always a trick question you pastors ask us. I said, well, I'd really like 200. He's like, wow, that's a lot. He says, what's your big number? I said, well, if we could get 500, that would just be amazing. That's $10,000. He's like, done. Called the secretary, said, write Chad a check for $10,000. We're buying radios. Amen. And that was, wow, I was like, all right, Lord, well, amen. I said, don't you think those are kind of expensive? He says, brother, something to get the word of God to people that can't get it? He says, that's not too much money at all. Yep. Amen. So I put the order in. It's actually a Christian company up in Canada. They got Bible school students that put them together and tune them and all that. And the president or whatever the company wrote me back and said, man, Chad, we're really excited about this. And we've sent lots of radios to Africa and some other places, but we have never sent any to New Guinea, and we're excited. Said, we're going to go ahead and send you 1,000. So, said, we just want to get in on what you guys are doing. So I called the other pastor back and said, well, God just doubled your money. Amen. So it's a blessing, folks. It's a blessing, you know, to be in the service of the King. There's just nothing better than that, and God just blesses and blesses. Now, in the video, I want you to be looking. We get to work with, over the last several years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, BIMI, a Baptist Mission Board organization, they've been raising money for these Bibles. And they raised all the money and all that, and they had these Bibles printed and shipped into the country, and The guy heading up the project called me up and said, Chad, I know you're up there in the Southern Highlands, and so we've been trying to get up there, but there's just nobody up there to help us with this project. See, they're just, what they were trying to do is they wanted to get with all the local churches. You know, it's a local church, we're local church. Amen. So they said, we want to work with the local churches and have them come down and pick up the Bibles for their area and then take these Bibles and give them to the school kids. And I said, that's fantastic. He said, but after asking around, there's only one church truck in the province. And, you know, that's 500,000 people. Probably, you know, in our area where we're working, we have 50 churches, and there's not one church truck but ours. And so he said, how are we going to do this? And I said, I don't know. He says, well, we've decided that you're going to do it. And he said, you've got the Southern Highlands. And by the way, there's no missionary or no other trucks in Hela province. And so you've got Hela province as well. Well, the Southern Highlands, we have 200 and almost 300 schools that we have to get Bibles to. We've done, I believe it's 36 or 37 schools, so we have 100 and whatever that math works out, 167 something schools left to get to. And so if you want to come four-wheel drive and take some Bibles to some schools, come on ahead. We got a lot of work to do. I'm trying to, now here's where we are raising some money for a truck that we blew the engine in and it's been sitting there. We're trying to get that thing rebuilt. So we can just dedicate that to driving these Bibles out and around. And so pray about that. There's a lot of other opportunities. The bus that you see is just nearly paid for. Anyways, it's exciting. I'm going to get excited. And so I hope that you get excited. Here's where your money's gone. So you got a part in all this. And thank you so much for that faithfulness. You know, when COVID hit, they said our churches in America are closing down. All we see is the news. So we didn't see what was going on here. All we hear is that churches are closing. And we didn't know what was going to happen. Well, folks, let me tell you, our churches, we got a good group of churches. Because we didn't lose any support. In fact, a lot of churches threw some extra in and said, just in case somebody else drops the ball, we don't want you to be hurt. And it was just a testament to your faithfulness, so thank you so much. And we sure do appreciate that. So let's watch this, and I'll tell you some more. Amen.
Chad Wells family serving in the Southern Highlands of Papua New Guinea. I want to take you on a little tour of the ministry over the past 4 years, some of the hardships, and some of the victories.
In 2017, we hosted the National Independent Baptist Pastors Conference. 300 pastors and preachers from all around PNG came. The main focus of the conference was the King James Bible and missions. We had the great privilege of having Dr. Sam Gipp and Pastor Tim Ellis as our main speakers. Everyone received a full bag of pastoral help books and tracts that we printed in the print shop. A songbook and a newly published Pidgin English side-by-side Bible as well. It was a great encouragement, and many found a new love for the Word of God. Amber was the head chef and worked with her helpers to provide 3 great meals each day, plus coffee and desserts following the evening services. The boys worked tirelessly to make sure that everything went smoothly. The months of preparation continues to pay dividends to this day. We started the term with 2 upgraded presses, which greatly increased the quality and printing speed. We suffered a significant setback in the print shop in 2018. We were woken up in the middle of the night by Gideon, one of our dorm students, letting us know that the print shop was on fire. We lost several pieces of equipment and a lot of supplies and printed material. But we thank God that we were able to get the fire contained quickly and we didn't lose the building. We are operational again, but there are still repairs to be made and equipment to replace. Even with the fire, there were still over 750,000 tracts printed, as well as 9 different books.
We're going to be up here at the print shop a couple times a week, now that we got it back up and running. So yesterday we printed the green and black, 18,000. So today I'm trying to finish up this red and black, another 18,000.
I'm just getting all the coronavirus gospel tracts back. And then I'm going to take them all over to the folder and then fold them all.
We continued to distribute the King James Pidgin Bible and in 2017 published the Pidgin English Side-by-Side Bible, which has been a great study aid. We are nearing the end of our supply and will need to do another order soon. We have also had the privilege of working with BIMI, distributing King James Bibles to the schools in the Southern Islands. We have distributed Bibles to 36 schools and have 167 schools yet to go. The Bibles are there, but we need the time and personnel to get them out. In 2018, Papua New Guinea suffered an earthquake that measured 7.6 on the Richter scale. The epicenter was just 90 miles away. There was a lot of damage done here on the mission station, with water tanks, buildings, and houses. 2 of our churches were also damaged beyond repair, Tangai and Ende. Both of these churches have now been rebuilt. There was a heightened level of fear after the earthquake and during the over 270 aftershocks that followed. The people were extra receptive to the gospel, and we saw many throughout the various ministries accept Christ as their Savior. We were excited to welcome Melanie Ellis to the Pangaea Ministry team in 2017. She has been a great asset to the school and ministry. Melanie leads the academic side of our school and has really helped to bring the school up to a higher level. Amber has just finished her 9th year of teaching, the last 7 being with the first grade class. Derek has just finished his 4th year teaching the kindergarten class. John continues to do a great job as the acting principal. The school has been able to add 4 more teachers. The death of one of our teachers, Doris, was quite a blow. But she had a great testimony. The day before her unexpected death, she challenged the children to remember that life is short and that we should put our minds to serving God. These last few years, I've worked with the government to get ACE schools recognized in PNG, and that has now happened. This is an answer to many years of prayer. With this new recognition, we now have a great need to build an additional classroom and expand our school. The school continues to be a great field of harvest.
As a first grade teacher, one of the things I love seeing is how the kids start out the year with no reading, writing, or English, and they end the year being able to read, write, speak in English confidently. We had two brothers this year who were rejected from the government school system come into our school, and both have grown so much. They can both read their Bibles in English. But I think the thing that is most exciting for us teachers is that both boys received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we really look forward to seeing how God uses these two brothers in the future.
Soldiers for Christ and Kids for Christ are both newly established ministries this term. Kirsten and I developed a 3-year Soldiers for Christ youth curriculum, complete with books, badges, and uniforms. Each club night, we have well over 80 kids packed into the classroom, many of whom sneak onto the mission station after dark in order to come. There has been many kids saved in this ministry. Many other churches around the country have begun using Soldiers for Christ as their youth curriculum. Melanie and Amber started Kids for Christ, and it has been a rousing success. They spend several days in the village telling stories, doing crafts, and playing games. They also give Bible lessons and a clear presentation of the gospel. There have been many saved in this ministry as well. We look forward to expanding both of these outreach ministries even more in the next few years. Trevor and Connor preach in separate government schools each week. Connor preaches at the Kumiana Grade School, and Trevor preaches at the Pengia Grade School. Both do a great job, and the kids look forward to these classes each week. Your missions dollars has contributed to the purchase of 4 plots of ground and the construction of 5 new church buildings. 2 churches that were started last term were turned over to national pastors, and 2 new churches were started. Kumiana was started and given to our newest addition of the Pengia ministry team, Justin and Kaylee Dye. Justin was able to lead them for 10 months before he and his family had to return to the States for some medical treatment after the birth of their 3rd daughter. We anticipate their soon return. In the interim, Derek, along with Stephen, have been taking care of this church plant. Derek has led them for the last 10 months and has developed a great love for the people. Derek officiated his first funeral there and has been learning discernment in dealing with a multitude of problems that comes with leading a flock. The other new church plant is in Lama Sawmill, a very rough and tumble community. Our sawmill broke, and I had to start buying lumber. This opened the door to start talking with Alex, who runs a small mobile sawmill. After several weeks of witnessing to him, he invited me to come and preach in the village. We started coming and preaching in the open-air market area. It took 5 weeks of preaching before the first person accepted Christ, and many have been saved since. We now have purchased ground and have a tarp church set up. The people are working to level ground for a Sunday school classroom, which will be started soon, and for the new permanent church building that will be built upon our return. We are excited that Lama has now taken on 2 foreign missionaries for monthly support. Although the amounts may seem small, they have really caught the vision for world missions. There's a great need for a work to be started in Arave, about 5 hours away. We held a tent meeting there, and 53 people came to Christ as their Savior. We usually do about 6 evangelistic meetings each year, traveling out to the more remote locations and setting up the tent. The new 4-wheel drive trailer hauls the tent and supplies, and has been a great benefit to the ministry. We need more workers and more help in this area. There is a great open door. I had been praying about starting a radio ministry here in the Widu tribe for over 5 years. In December of 2019, God opened the door and showed me that it was time. We started construction on a small radio station building, and I ordered some very basic equipment. The most important components arrived just as the coronavirus began to shut down things globally. We went on air the day after the lockdown started in PNG, and temporarily closed our churches. I bought some small radios from a local trade store and got them to some of the people in the Kumiana and Lama church plants. Then we started preaching on the air. God's timing was impeccable. The radio plays from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., and there is daily preaching, Bible reading, and lots of good, godly music.
We were able to start the radio in December of 2018. We were able to play lots of different kinds of programs. We have preaching 2-3 times a day. We also have Bible reading every morning and night. We have a time for kids, where we do lots of kids programs and songs. We have news hour. We just have lots of God uplifting songs. The way it works is, it starts with this, our computer program here, heads to our mixer board. From the mixer board, it heads up to the transmitter. The transmitter changes it right to the antenna, sends it out.
This is the Panka where we were at. So it reaches all parts of the Panka about 12 miles and then it goes as far as Tindua and Lama and stops somewhere at there.
Thankfully, the shutdown in PNG only lasted for 7 weeks and we're able to get back into the churches very quickly. In reality, the virus has not affected us much here in the Southern Highlands. And we have been able to continue working fervently in all the various ministries with minimal interruption. One thing that was affected was our monthly pastors' fellowship. Our pastors come from 3 separate districts, and travel was affected for a time. These fellowships have grown from around 30 to over 60 each time. We usually have 3 days of intensive preaching and teaching. We are systematically working through the major doctrines of the Bible, pastoral problems, and the like. We look forward to starting back up on our return. Although you can see through the videos and pictures and hear the stories, there's nothing like coming and seeing it for yourself.
Ruth, I'd like to encourage you, whatever you have to do, go mow yards, have lemonade stands, save your money, and come to a place like this on a missions trip.
This term, we've had many visitors come on short-term missions trips, young and old alike. There are many opportunities for short-term missions trips, Bible distribution, medical, teaching, preaching, helping in the school or print shop, and even building. Come and see the work and put your hand to the plow in this great field of harvest. We are excited to see what God will do over the next few years as we look forward to growing and expanding several ministries. As we increase the radio station's coverage, we'd like to put a handheld solar radio that is locked to our station's frequency in the hand of every pastor and village leader within its effective range. The school continues to grow, which has led to the need to purchase a 25-passenger bus. In order to accommodate the growth of our monthly pastors' meeting, we need to build 2 new additional pastor and Bible school dormitories. These are able to accommodate 24 pastors each. As God leads, there will be more church plants. We are also praying about walking through the open door to start one at the new Pacific University being built nearby. Thank you for your continued support and prayers as we charge ahead.
All right.
Well, no, I can't get out of here.
All right, well, you know, I don't know how many times I've watched that video, but I don't know, it gets me excited. So I hope that excites you. Man, God's been doing a great work. We've got two people helping us. We've got a single young lady, Melanie. She's been there for 4 years with us. Her dad's a pastor down in Mississippi. And, you know, she's doing a great job in the school. And then we've got that young couple, a young family, the Dye family. And they were with us for 10 months. Then they were gone for a little over a year. And they just got back into the country a few weeks ago. And so they're back knocking some cobwebs out and doing some stuff and getting some things ready for us. And in fact, I was just on the phone with him just a few minutes ago. He's letting me know how the services went because we're a day behind. So, you know, they're forward of us. And so we're excited about that and excited about the Dyes being back. And so it's a good thing. Man, it's good. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'll try to mix in a few other little stories in here and get some preaching in as well. Wow, that clock just goes fast. Wow. Well, if you've come to church Sunday night on Independence Day, you must want... And that's after 4 or 5 days of Brother Gibbs. So you must want something. I don't know if I'm the right guy to give it, but but the Word of God's the right thing. Amen? Amen. All right, Luke chapter 5. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into what the Word of God has for us. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to have a part in what you would have us to do. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross. Father, thank you for this book. Father, as I pray, as we read a few verses here and look at this, that you would speak to us, work in our hearts. Father, help us. Father, we just thank you so much. We ask these things now. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 5. Let's look here and start in verse number 4. Luke chapter 5, verse number 4. It says, now, when he had left speaking, of course, this is Jesus. There he's speaking to the multitude. And he's there standing in the boat, all right, standing in the boat, and he's done speaking now. He's been teaching the people, sitting in the, or standing there at the front end of that boat, and he's done with that, and now I believe he wants to do something with Peter. I believe he's got a little one-on-one session for Peter here. Verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Can anybody relate to that? Can you relate to what Peter's feeling here? He's like, I'm exhausted. Amen. You know, I've been out there already. Lord, you don't understand. You don't see what we've been through. We just barely got these nets washed and mended and folded and tucked away here, and now you want us to go back out there again. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We have wasted our time. And we don't want to waste our time again. However, I believe that Simon here, he knows who he's talking to. You see, he already addressed him correctly, right? Master. So he knows who he's talking to. Nevertheless, kind of like, well, all right. With much grumbling and complaining... Of course, I'm just reading between the lines here. Amen. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Amen. Now, let's go back up to verse number 4 again, at the end of the verse. What does it say? The Lord says, let down your... Is that singular or is that plural? Plural, nets. And then we jump down to 5 at the end. That last word there, is that singular or plural? That's singular. You know, those words are important, aren't they? And so here we have, the Lord has said, Peter, let's launch out and let down your nets. Get out there in the deep water and let's do something. And Peter's like, all right, we'll go and we'll let out a net. My dad called that partial obedience, which to him was rebellious disobedience. Because you know better and you didn't do it. And I think we got more whippings for that than anything else. Now we read the rest of the verse here, the rest of these few verses, verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always just read right through that plural and that singular thing. I never really noticed that. But you know, it's very easy to do that because you just read on and we see that God wrought a great miracle. In fact, the miracle was so great that Peter's boat was completely filled up in that it was sinking. And so they had to beckon to their partners and say, hey, fellas, man, our one net has filled our boat. And we're sinking and the net's breaking, so come on over. And they filled their boat up. And both these boats are riding low in the water. They're just, all right, nobody move. They're just kind of paddling. Man, because they're so full. And it'd be very easy to look at this and see and say, what a great miracle. But what I would submit to you, and no doubt there's a great miracle there, and I certainly don't want to take away from that miracle. But I can't help but go back and say nets versus net. And you know, as we look at things with our human eyes, you know, our eyes are not very good at seeing what God's going to do, are they? They're not very good at seeing what God wants to do. And this is just me. This is what I see here. I see Jesus wanting to do something with Peter. I see Jesus wanting to teach him something. And so here Peter misses it. I believe Peter missed it. Because what Jesus was there ready to do is he was ready to call that fleet of ships right around the peninsula. If Peter would have put down the nets. But Peter only put one in. Yeah, think about that little story back there with the cruse of oil. When did the oil run out? Did the oil run out first? The oil ran out when the vessels ran out. According to their faith, they collected vessels. And when the vessels were finished, the oil ran out. Not before. Not after. So God allows us to really determine some of the outcome based on our faith. So here, the Lord asked Peter to throw the nets down. And he only threw one, and there's a great miracle. But what if Peter would have, this is just my what if question to you tonight. What if Peter would have thrown maybe 2 nets? Or 3? Maybe 4 nets. One out there. You know, 2 on each side. What if he would have thrown those nets out? Would Jesus be there and say, yeah, partners, you guys come over. But there's not enough for you. Come on. But hey, I got a fleet over here. Why don't you guys come on and move on over here? Start filling up that fleet of ships. And of course, as we know, in the Word of God, those fish... Well, those are likened to the souls of men. in just a little while after here, he says, you're going to be fishers of men. Christian, that's what we are tonight. We are fishers of men. Now, whenever I've read that, fishers of men, I never think about nets. I've always thought about fishing pole. But the Lord's talking about nets. Bringing them in. You know, our minds are a bit small, aren't they? And then Peter only put out one. So let me submit to you some nets that we as a church need to throw out. Some nets that we need to throw out. You say, what about these nets? Well, I've looked and been around the country to a few churches here and there, you know, there's some churches that we've been to that are just phenomenal givers. What a blessing. We've been to some churches that were phenomenal at outreach. And all, you know how it is. There's all different, there's churches with all different specialties. But church, listen to me tonight. I believe that God wants us to be the complete package as a church. And so that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is being the complete package and throwing out all the nets. And let's test and see what God would do if we threw all the nets out. So let's look at this first one. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As your missionary, I find it a great privilege. And when we come in, and what a blessing it was, sister, she said, man, we've been praying for that ankle. As you, many of you know, I had that surgery on my ankle. And man, you've been praying about that with us. Folks, that is a relief. Because we've been in some churches where we pull up and the pastor doesn't even recognize us. Who are you? Where are your missionaries? Oh, yeah, amen, brother. We've been praying for you. Well, yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Talk about the net of prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul speaking here, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that we would have safety. Is that what that says? Is that what your Bible says? It says, Paul wasn't necessarily looking for safety. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Listen, Paul's first request was not for safety. Folks, I don't know if you've recognized this, but we have become a nation and a people infatuated with safety. Now, please don't get me wrong. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. I don't want to be injured. I don't want to be in a car accident. I don't want to suffer pain. None of that. I don't want any of that. But listen, as Christians, we've got to be understand and be willing to recognize that Paul hazarded his life for the preaching of the gospel. I mean, we go in there and look at the list. Whipped and beat and shipwrecked and hungry and naked. Folks, he wasn't worried about his safety. What he was worried about was that the Word of God would have what? Free course. Folks, as you pray for us and as you pray for your other missionaries, yes, pray for our safety. Please do. But you know what? If I'm safe and secure and everything's going great, but the Word of God hits a stone wall every time I preach, every time we give out those tracts, man, we're wasting our time and you're wasting your money. Folks, we need to be praying that the Word of God would have free course. as we pray that the Word of God would have free course, and I go into those villages, and as we go back this time, we'll be taking these little radios in, and I'm going to go in, and the churches or the villages where I already have pastors, those will be easy because I've got my pastor there, and I'll have a meeting with him, and we'll bring in the village leaders, and we'll give some radios out and preach to the people, and that'll be good. But there's a lot of villages. There's 250 to 350 villages that we'll go into. And many of those, we only have about 50 churches in those in that 300 plus villages. So as we go into those new villages and we meet with those village leaders and we meet with those people and give them some radios and preach to them there, you know, under the bamboo. Man, we need the Word of God to have free course.
Amen.
Why? Because, man, as the Word of God is preached and as they listen and as I preach to them and my boys preach to them and as we go and we do that Kids for Christ, which is basically just like a vacation Bible school. They just go in and bring in all the kids. And, of course, now you bring in about 200 kids and you're giving them missionary stories and Bible stories and then you've got about 100 adults, you know, just another 30 feet back, giving them the gospel. And we want the Word of God to penetrate. Might have free course. Church, we need to put, and we are not Calvinists. Prayer works. Man, take those prayer cards and pray over us. And on your Saturday afternoon, I'm preaching on Sunday. Pray that that Word of God would just penetrate into those dark souls. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 16. Church, we need to be a praying church. I have to admit that sometimes I become Calvinistic in my prayer life. God, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. Come on now. Don't we get like that sometimes? And God wants us broken souls, men and women. Help us. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 16. Again, Paul talking. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. Man, Paul is just trying to get the job done. Folks, that's why that's why we're there in New Guinea. Man, the fishing's good. And we're trying to get what God's given us to do. We're trying to do it to the best of our ability. I have to tell you, I am very, very conscious of that money that comes in. So often we'll get stopped on the road. There's bandits along the road, and they'll roadblock us and try to steal our money, and they want bribes or whatever. And they roll rocks in the road and say, "Well, we're working on the road, so pay us to get the rocks out." And so they'll block it and. And they'll say, "You got to pay us, or you can't go." And I talked to them, and I'm speaking in their language, and because I was there as a kid, my pidgin is clean, so that's always surprising to them—a white guy speaking their own clean language. And then as I talk to them, and I say, "All right, guys, pull my wallet out," and there's money in there. Pull that money out, and I said, "Now you have to understand, people. You know, sometimes these are policemen blocking the road." And I say, "Now you have to understand." Of course, I don't carry offering plates around with me in the truck. But I say, "You have to understand that people in America have put their money in the offering plate in church. And then they take that money and they send it to me. And now it's here in my wallet. And so I'm going to take that money out of my wallet that was in the offering plate. And you're going to go buy beer with it as a policeman." Oh, well, maybe you should just go ahead and go. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm very conscious of your sacrifice in giving to us. And I know that many of you work long hours for your money, and then when you get home, you still do other ministry work. Folks, I try to do that as the same way. I work my 10 or 12 hours for the day, and then when that's done, we try to put in a few more, because I know you are too. So that giving that you have given has value in that country. Church, we need to be a church that's giving. Amen. You see, the president can write all kinds of stimulus bills. Man, he can give all kinds of money away that's not his. But you know what? He's not going to write in missions program in Papua New Guinea. The only people that are going to do that are you. The Christians in the church. You know, I don't have anybody that supports us. I'm just making sure here. I don't have any lost people that support us. I have some lost family on my wife's side that sometimes will send us some packages and stuff. But folks, lost people aren't interested in this job. And if we as a church and we as Christians don't do it, then it's not going to get done. And so we need to remember now. Now you saw it in the video there. Those churches that I start there, I teach them to give to missions. Because I tell them, I said, listen, you saw that little pole building with the tarps on it. That's our church building. And I tell them, those guys, I said, listen, those people in America, they put money in here so I could put fuel in my truck and buy a tarp and drive here and start this church. That's their money. And they're like, amen. And they're happy about that. And then I said, now, we're a church too, aren't we? And they said, yeah, we're a church. Ooh, things start clicking now. So I started teaching them about giving, tithing, and all that. And they're like, okay, well, we got to tithe. Let's pass the plate. So, well, there's not just tithing. There's special love offerings, and there's offerings to the Lord just because we love Him.
Amen.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay. And I said, then there's missions. And they're like, oh, fantastic, missions. We know missions. We have a missionary. We'll give you money. And I said, well, okay, that would be nice, but that's not what we're doing. I said, you see, the churches in America, they give money so I can come to you. Because this is the ends of the earth to them. And they said, okay, so we'll give to missions and we'll send it to them and then they can give it somewhere. See, they got that Catholic Church thing going on in their head. The mama church. I said, no. They said, who do we send it to? I said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to send it to a missionary. Oh, a missionary. Like you, but somewhere else. Yeah. Okay. So I brought in a guy, he's a New Guinea guy, he's there, he's from one of the town churches, and a guy named Dominic, him and his wife are working in the Solomon Islands, doing a good job. He was in youth camps that I preached years ago, and grew up in church and all that, and so him and his wife are in the Solomon Islands. So they were back getting some paperwork taken care of. They had been there for, I think, 2 or 3 years. And they came back, so I brought him up to Pangaea. And I said, man, show him some pictures. And so he's showing him pictures and some of the people he's led to the Lord and getting on the bus and going and doing the market preaching and going and starting a church. And they're like, so they said, so we get to put our tithe in this plate. Yep. And then in this one, we put money because we love God. So, yep. And then in this one, we get to put missions money. And I said, that's how it works. Of course, we have all the fancy envelopes here, but we just run 3 plates there. And I said, yep, just put that in there. And then this is kind of the leader of the village. That he was one of the first guys that got saved. He said, okay, we're going to put it in there. And then at the end of the month, you're going to take that money and you're going to send it to this guy right here. And he's standing there, Dominic standing right there. I said, yep. Amen. And then he's going to take that out of his account and put fuel in his truck and go buy a tarp and do what you did right here, over there? I said, yep. Amen. They're like, man, we're in. They're like, yeah, we like this. And I said, then the souls that he wins there, and that's fruit to our account. Oh, they're like, ah, we like how this works. Man, they got that vision. Man, they've been faithful. That we send him, I think, 50 kina. Now I don't put that. I don't put my missions money in there. So I want it to be their money. I help them out in a lot of other ways, but I don't put any in that. And so that 50 kina, that's about $20.
Amen.
That we send to that missionary every month.
Amen.
And they're excited about that. Amen. Why? Because it's the church's job. It doesn't matter if you're in Holtom City or in Boise, Idaho, or in Canada or the Philippines or the jungles of Papua New Guinea.
Amen.
It's our job as the church to get the gospel around the world. And church, we need to be a giving church. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a giving church. We need to give consistently. We need to give to God.
Amen.
You know, if you give to the missionary, you might be disillusioned at some point.
Right.
Because there's some of us out there that we're rascals.
Come on.
And you might see us on Facebook eating a steak or something, and you'll be like, I give missions money to that guy, and he's out eating a steak. You didn't know that the pastor bought it for me, but anyways. You know the devil gets in there. You know how it is. The devil will get in there. Give it to God. Give sacrificially. Listen, a million years from now, I don't know if you heard the words of that song, but man, a million years from now, what?
Well,
man, I don't want to leave anything on the table. I don't want to leave anything on the table. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a giving church. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness. But then we need to be a sending church. We need to be a sending church. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse number 2. Man, there's some good stuff right in here. Some fasting and some praying. Ministering unto the Lord. Folks, we want to see God's hand. We're going to have to minister to the Lord. Well, that's another message. Verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Man, there's some fasting and praying in the calling, and there's some fasting and praying in the sending. A church, we need to be a sending church. If we're gonna get the gospel around the world, man, what a blessing it is that you are willing to partner with me, with my family, from another church. Man, I'm thankful for that. But church, you need to be a sending church. That means that you're going to have to start training some young men and some women. You're going to have to start training. You're going to have to start winning and discipling. And you're going to have a mentality of, we need to get somebody out. Now, what a blessing it is to have someone come through and to partner with them. But you know, they came from somewhere. We need to send someone from here. We need to be a sending church. Parents, we need to not have the mentality of that's somebody else's job, but we need to train our own children for this job. You know, I think it's wonderful that somebody gets saved later in life and commits their life to Christ and wants to do something for him and goes to the mission field. Man, that's a blessing. But what about our own little kids raised in church? What's wrong with them? Man, parents, we need to have a mentality shift. If we're going to send these nets out, man, we're going to have to grow homegrown. We have to grow some missionaries and some pastors right here. That means we're going to have to win some. And we're going to have a mentality of discipleship and mentoring. Folks, there's a job to do. Last term, there was 7 missionaries, King James Bible-believing missionaries that left the highlands of Papua New Guinea. And I only know of 3 that came, new ones. So we lost 7 and we gained 3. Those are not good numbers. We can't sustain mission work, let alone advance it with those kind of numbers. Now that means home base needs to have a mentality change. That's us. We're home base. Right here. That's us. That's not that other church down the road. That's not that other church over there. That's us. Right here. We're going to have a mentality shift. We're going to have to decide that sending something that we need to do. You know, you can't just make a decision, well, we're going to send somebody and then, you know, next week have a sending service. You know, it's the long game. It's something where you're going to have to build that thing. You're going to have to change your mentality. You're going to have to find someone and you're going to have to, it might take some years. But it's worth it. So church, we need to be a praying church. We need to be a giving church. We need to be a sending church. Now let's look at the last one. We're just going to look at 4 of these nets. Man, church, we could send out more than just 4 nets. But what if we did 4? What if? Look at this last one here, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ye, church, we need to be a going church. Man, we need to go. You say, well, I can't go to New Guinea. Are you sure? Are you sure? Well, I can't do that. You might want to check with the boss first. You might be right, but you might want to check with the boss. He might have a different idea. Say, well, okay, the boss won't let you go to New Guinea. That's all right. There's some closer places. I don't know if you looked out, but man, there's a few thousand people close by here somewhere. They all tried to run me off the road. Coming through that construction. I don't know if you come through there from the Dallas side to this side, but wow, that's almost like 4-wheel driving. Man, there's a bunch of people right here. People, we need to go. Man, yes, as your missionary, I'm happy to go to New Guinea. I would much rather be there than here. Man, that's my home. That's my place. Those are my people. This is your home. These are your people. This is your place. And you're right here. You just need to, man, just, you're already walking around. You're already getting gas and at the grocery store. You're already all those places. Man, you just need to pull a track out. Open your mouth. Sometimes we get afraid about witnessing because, I don't have an hour to give the gospel. That was just a word for Christ. You might not have an hour. Maybe you just 10 seconds worth of giving a quick praise to the Lord, and maybe someone might perk up and say, huh, that's something to think about. Something to think about. They might have some grandma praying for them. They go call grandma and say, grandma, tell me about that Savior again. Some guy at the grocery store just got me thinking about the Savior. Amen. Folks, we need to be a going church. Amen. We can't just play this as a social thing. We can't just become so internalized where we're just coming to church and studying and praising God and being thankful for what He's done for us and just looking internal. Man, we got to be thankful for what He's done for us, but then we got to lift up our eyes and see that the fields are wide unto harvest. Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Mark 16:15, you know it. Go into all the world. Man, we got to get to all the world, but we got to start right here. And that's what I tell those people at the Lama Church Plant. I said, guys, we got to start right here. Man, let's send some money to the Solomon Islands. But if we send money to the Solomon Islands and we won't go across the village to the grass hut three doors down and try to invite them to church, what good are we? We've only hired guns for Christ. Folks, we need to be a going church. You know, if we're not a going church, we'll never be a sending church. You see, all these nets, they start working together. And they start working together, and you start pulling in those fish. Man, God can do some great things. You might just fill up your boat. You might have to call to your partners and say, hey, the fish are too many. We need some help. And then the Lord might just have to call the boats from around the peninsula. And say, hey, we got some boats over here ready. They're not doing nothing. They're just ready. You know how God does that, doesn't he? I just got something over here waiting for you, just seeing if you had the faith to do it or not. Bring those over and start filling those boats. Folks, we swallow the world's poison. And we get this mentality, well, it's just us and we're going to huddle in for the last days. Well, and I hope we're in the last days. Well, let's not huddle in for the last days. Man, that's what the world's been preaching for the last year and a half. Shelter in place. Hide out. Look at everybody suspicious. That guy's sick. I can't go close to him. Did they sniff? I think he sniffed. I better stay away. Man, we're all suspicious of people. And that's the devil. How are we supposed to do our job if we got that kind of mentality? Man, our job is up right up in the face of people. Giving them the gospel. Church, let's be a praying church. Let's be a giving church. Let's be a sending church. Let's be a going church. What if we did all of them? How many boats could we fill? Looks like we got a little space here to fill up this place. Don't wait for some system. There's no system. There's no special button to push. So we just got to follow God's plan. And you know, God's plan works. It worked then, and it works today. Oh, well, Chad, you know, these day and age people, yeah, I know. They're the same as they were before. I don't know. I read about a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. That was a pretty rough place. I don't think they're too interested in the gospel. Yeah, that's rough. But we still just got to give it to them. That's our job. And his word will not return void. Yeah. Won't return void. And that's his business anyways, isn't it? Our job is to do it. Church, what could we do? You say, well, what's God going to do? Well, God's going to do exactly what he's going to do. But he's asked us to do this. And what we do can either help God in what he wants to do, or we can hinder him. I believe Peter hindered the Lord in what he wanted to do. There's a great multitude. They're shouting it out. But I can't help but think maybe Jesus was there in the boat thinking, amen. But how many boats are over there you don't know about? What could we do for God if we had thrown the nets out? Just trust him. Throw the nets. Let's pray. Church, what are you going to do tonight? What are we going to do for Christ? Where are we at? Where are we going? What are we going to do? Father in heaven, Lord, as we sing this song and have this time of invitation, Father, I pray that you would have your will and your way, and Father, I pray that you would help us to do what we're supposed to do. Father, we need to allow you to work in our hearts. Father, if we need to make some changes, God, I pray that you'd help us make some changes. Father, if we need to lift up our eyes, then God, help us. Help us to lift up our eyes. Thank you now, Father.